Hopefully I'm able to unpack some lessons that I've learned and some hardships that I've went through over the last couple of years so that you can learn from my mistakes and you can actually apply it and make a difference in your life, in your lives, your agents' lives, and lives of people in your community.
This gentleman has, I've had the privilege, Matt, 5 years? Yeah, about 5 years. I had the privilege of working with Matt. And, you know, as I talk about the results, again, it's not to be self-deprecating. It's just being real. I'm a facilitator of change. I don't make the change. Just because someone's a coaching client doesn't mean I made them what they are. I never want to put that message out there. But I've had the privilege to ride alongside Matt. And the nice thing is when you ride alongside folks, you know, for that time frame, you get to know them at all levels. Matt is a contributor. I think he's 5 years in a row, averaged 600 closings a year. Here's the remarkable thing about Matt Smith. Matt has, he's got a marketplace of about 200 agents. And to do 600 transactions, you guys ever thought, oh, we're in a small market. We can do 30 transactions, right? A little sarcastic. Matt has had to organically create. So here's what I want you to think about as you approach this one. I mean, grab what you want from it. But here's where I would go into it, just kind of set the stage for you. If you're starting up, oh, okay, good, because maybe I don't have the perception in the marketplace. You don't want to hear what this guy's doing. But he has organically created his real estate agents, getting him licensed and up and running. He is also one of our top Chet Black Live coaches. So if you're someone that's evaluating coaches, you'll see a bunch of them come across. I'm not gonna say here's the program, this and that. He coaches 20 top team leaders from across North America. He's one of our top partners too with Responsive Mortgage. And he's a dad, a husband, and a really good friend, and a guy that contributes. He's always blowing me up. How can I help? How can I help? Ladies and gentlemen, elite team leader, elite coach, elite mortgage operator, my good friend, and your friend too, Matt Smith.
All right, today, I'm going to share some things with you guys today that hopefully I'm able to unpack some lessons that I've learned and some hardships that I've went through over the last couple of years so that you can learn from my mistakes. And you can actually apply it and make a difference in your life, in your lives, your agents' lives, and lives of people in your community. So John hit on it, just a little bit of perspective is for the last 5 years, our team has closed 600 plus transactions. We have had 30 to 40% attrition every year. We have no Zillow Flex. We have enough realtor.com so we show up if people search agents. And we have organically created our real estate agents from the ground. And so what I'm gonna share with you is proven and tested. If I can do it in my market, I promise you, you can do it in yours. And so there's some lessons that I wanna unpack. So it sounds like it's all been great, but there's been a lot of things, and this isn't working, Dylan. There we go. There's been a lot of lessons that are things that I've struggled with. I mean, I'm gonna go back 2 years ago. How was COVID market for everyone? Was it good? Yeah, it was really good. And so I think what a lot of us did during those times is we kind of rode the high of the great real estate market. I know I certainly did. And I fell in the trap of becoming the leader that was absent from my team. And I started reading my own press clippings. I've been like, well, we just closed 776 transactions. We got this figured out. Until we didn't. And so what happened is I came to my team, once I detached, I came into my organization, came into my office, and I'm like, I don't even recognize this place. Like, it just felt different. I felt out of place. Can anyone relate? Walking on eggshells as a leader? Feeling like it's your team versus you? It's never good enough? And what happened was, is that like, I just felt like I was like walking around like this, like they had me handcuffed as a leader. And what I realized was that I was leading from fear instead of leading from power. There's a big difference. And so the first step was I had to step into it and own it. The environment felt off because I was off. My team felt like they were against me because I wasn't the leader that they needed. I stepped back from my business, and guess what? My business changed. And so I had to take personal responsibility and step into my power as a leader. Personal responsibility, you should write that one down. That is your superpower. If you don't own it, you can't change it. I don't care what it is. If you ever catch yourself saying, well, I wish my agents would, wrong answer. You have to accept extreme personal responsibility. And as soon as you do that, now everything can change in your organization. But until you make that switch, you're going to be held hostage. So one of the things that was important to me when I started my organization was culture over sales. Some of you have heard my story. I'm not going to get into it today. But culture was important to me, and it still is. And so it's culture first, culture over sales. I say this in front of my team all the time. If our culture goes to shit and it becomes somewhere that I just don't enjoy working, I don't see people evolving and changing into the humans that I want to be around, and people living their best lives, our core focus is changing lives. If I don't see lives changing in our organization, I'll burn it down. I don't need it. I don't do it for the sales. I don't do it for the money. I do it for the impact and fulfillment on my heart. And whenever I really had that honest conversation with myself, that's when everything started going back in the right direction. I embraced who I said we were. I would be in front of my team and I would talk about culture, talk about core values, talk about the hard work, talk about the things that it took to win. What was I doing behind the scenes? I was counting my money, looking for my ivory tower, watching everybody. Like, anyone had the leadership, do as I say, not as I do? How does that work? Doesn't work. And so I had to, instead of just talk the talk, I had to walk it. So I had to go back into, I'm not too good to do the little things. And part of that was making hard decisions, tough decisions that supported the culture. I'll get into that in a minute. One of the things that I want you guys to write down if you're taking notes, if you're a leader in the room, which by the way, you all are a leader, because everyone is a leader to someone in their life. Everyone is a leader to someone in their life. The world needs more leadership right now. So step up and lead. But if you're going to lead, lead through principles, not through personality. Lead through principles, not through personality. So I'm big on identity. I'm a big Ed Mylett fan. And one of the things, the talks that I've listened to over and over and over of his is around identity. So what I realized is that I had to change my identity and step into my power as a leader. So I've said that before, but I want to go deeper so you understand what that means, because maybe you can relate. Like, I think about it this way. To go to a team as a team leader, you start as a productive agent, most of us, and then we're like, well, the next step is to be a leader. But are sales and leadership the same thing? But no one teaches us how to be a leader. So I think we get stuck there. Here's another sticking point. Now you're a leader, you grow your team, you've learned the leadership language, and you have become a better leader yourself. You start leading other people, you start seeing some success, and then what's next? You got to lead other leaders. Who teaches you how to do that? This is where everybody says the messy middle, or I got stuck, or I stopped growing. You know why you stopped growing? Because you stopped growing as a leader. Every struggling business has a leader that stopped growing, mine included. You have to let go of the identity that, like, oh, hey, I've made it. Like, don't read your own press clippings. You're only as good as you are today. Like, it's every single day, wake up today and be obsessed. John is a great example of that. Just win the day today. And as soon as I stepped into that, everything started changing. And the reason I'm sharing that with you, all this will make sense, is because I believe leadership is undefeated. I have a very unique perspective. I know many of you in this room, and those of you that I don't know, I hope to get to know you. And I am obsessed with this business, and I study, and I learn, and I observe. I have the privilege of coaching many of you in this room. I'm 20 team leaders right now that I'm coaching, the top team leaders in North America. I run a pretty elite organization. And what I've realized is there's a common theme in those that are winning and those that are struggling. Those that are winning and having epic years this year all have leadership as a priority. Those that are struggling are ones that, like, I don't need that. My agents do the work. And if you started a team to get out of a job, you're in the wrong business. It's not how it works. Leadership is a privilege and a responsibility to do more, not permission to do less. Leadership is a privilege and responsibility to do more, not permission to do less. I believe leadership is a mirror. I want you to think about everything in your organization right now, everything in your life, everything in your health, in your family, in your fitness that you don't like. What are the things that I wish I could change? I could remove, I could add, make a big long list. And then hold up that mirror John was talking about. Because all those things are a reflection of you. Again, once you accept it, now you can change it. I also believe the speed of the leader determines the pace of the pack. So again, that leadership seventh level of I'm a team leader so I can sip Mai Tais all day on the beach. Where are those? Does anyone know a team leader like that? That's successful continuously? I've never met them. I don't know who sold us that dream, but that's what we all, I talk to so many people that want a team so they can work less. It's just not real. And so the speed of the leader determines the pace of the pack. So I was talking with some people yesterday. We're talking about like leverage and replacing yourself and growth as leader in your organization. And like there's a very important piece that I think so many people miss. They think, well, I need to delegate. I need to replace myself. Yes, as a leader, you wake up every single day and replace yourself, 100%. But that is not so that you can do less. You replace yourself so that you can continue to elevate for everyone in the organization. When you stop elevating, the company stops growing. Speed of the leader determines the pace of the pack. Remember I said I walked the talk? I had 100 closing a year producer. When I stepped back in this transition and I looked at the landscape of my company, I'm like, I don't like this. We had some toxic people in the environment. Anyone relate? A lot of us like to think, well, that's a them problem. Wrong. You hired them. Wrong. You still allow them to work there. That was a me problem. So I fixed it. 100 closings our first year on my team. Bye. Principles over personality. So let's dive into what's winning right now. And like I hope that those are some lessons there that you can take away to apply to your business, because I want you, each and every one of you, to win. And I really think that there's so many people selling, not in this room, but there's so many people that aren't at events like this in this community. They're selling false hope. It's just not real. I mean, there are elements that are great that I'll get to of growing a team and other leaders and different things that create some freedom and flexibility. But if you're in it so you can work less, it's just not a real thing. So what's winning right now? I'd like to actually share, I was actually speaking at breakfast this morning. I've never spoke on the same thing twice. I've had the privilege to speak and share a lot of stages. And the reason I don't speak on the same thing is because I think that every single day there's a new topic that we can share and contribute on. Now, are the principles of the things that are the same? Absolutely. But I want to share with you what's winning right now. Not what worked 2 years ago, not 5 years ago, back in my day. There's so many people that speak on that stuff. And I want to give you real, raw relevance today. As an operator in our business, July of 2025 was the best month in company history. We doubled July this year versus last year. Yeah. September, thank you, September. It's going to be our second best month in company history. September under, that's closings, by the way. That's actual revenue to the company. Under contract in September, we had 52 halfway through the month. My math, if you double that, that's 104 under contract in a month. We have 38 agents. And a town of 30,000 people where our MLS has 300 agents. If we can do it, you can too. And I'm going to share with you how we have done it. So what's the magic pill? You guys aren't going to like me after this. Because here's the truth. So many people, and the reason I know is because I've been this person. And I'm not perfect, but I've learned. And so I want you to learn. How many of you have been to an event and you hear a speaker, you hear me share some of this stuff, you're like, oh, I already know that. And you stop listening, you get on your phone, you don't take notes, you're not present. How about this one? How many of you lead a meeting of some sort with your team? By show of hands. A sales meeting, a huddle, role play, training. Okay, cool. How do you feel when your agents check out? You know they need to hear what you're saying, but they've already heard it before. How do those agents usually perform? So don't be a hypocrite. You got to lean in. And you got to look for the subtleties, for the nuances, for that one thing that you can hear a little bit different that can change everything in your business. So here's the truth. Most of what I'm going to share with you, you've already heard. You just haven't executed on it. I learned this from Alex Ramosi. Learning equals changed behavior. You guys should write that one down. You should share it with your team, because we all struggle with this as humans. Learning equals changed behavior. What that means is, if you guys come to this conference, you spent time away from family, you spent a ticket to get here. I mean, Tahoe's not cheap, right? It's beautiful, but it's not cheap. You invested a lot of money here and probably more importantly, time away from your business and your family to be here. So learning equals change behavior. That means that if you guys are present all 3 days and you go back, you took all the notes and nothing in your changes in your behavior, you have not learned. You have merely entertained yourself. I hope this is entertaining, but I want you to make a change in your life. I want to make a change in your business. So make sure that you change something. So what's working right now for us? It's these three things. Consistency, staying power, and execution. I'm going to elaborate. Our theme for the last 2 years, is one word, execution. It is defined, done, or not done. Anyone comes to me with a problem in our business, my question to them is, did you execute? Well, you know, you don't. No. I didn't ask for a reason. I didn't ask for an excuse. Did you execute? Well, no, but. Okay, let's stop before the but. We didn't execute. So let's go back and execute and let's try again. Like how many people raised their hand? I didn't. When John asked, have you executed every day for the last 30 days? I haven't. Is that okay? Of course it is. But are we trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist because we're just avoiding the execution? You can't avoid the work. Next is, this is really, really difficult for me as a visionary, and maybe some of you can relate. There's a lot of shiny objects in this business. You guys with me? There's a lot of cool tech. Now the new AI this and the AI that and the drip this and the marketing that, like there's a lot of cool shit. And I like cool stuff. You guys like cool stuff? Cool stuff can enhance your business as long as it doesn't distract you from keeping the main thing the main thing. So guess what we've done for the last 2 years? Remove, 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 remove. We have a rule. If we're going to add anything, we remove two. We're having our best year ever. Two of the best months ever in company history. We got rid of all the fancy shit. Going back to the basics. Another thing. Leadership alignment. And this is for those of you that are at a point where you're trying to develop other leaders in your organization. You need to, I'm going to share with you the mistakes that I made. So hopefully you can learn. Because I think this is where, this is like the hardest thing to do in my experience as a team leader. Going from salesperson to leader is tough. But going from leader to leader of other leaders is a whole nother level. And so first, let me tell you what I did wrong. I read the book EOS. Anybody ever read that? EOS? Well, they say every department needs a leader. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to hire a bunch of leaders. Because they'll do what they're supposed to do, right? Wrong. They're not in alignment with the vision, the mission, the culture. Didn't work. Had the wrong people in the wrong seats. They were all rowing in different directions. It wasn't their fault. It was my fault. Another thing that I struggled with is developing other leaders. Like, how many of you made transition from salesperson to leader? Show of hands. Was it quick? Did it happen overnight? Are we still learning every day? But no one teaches us how to be a leader. That also means no one teaches them how to be a leader. And so if they haven't developed as a leader, guess what? That's on me. Leadership now. Some of you may have met them. These great ladies over here, Jenna and Lauren. You may have met them on the hike. They are our leadership team. We went from 5 leaders to 2. And we've never been better. Right people in the right seats. You have to develop your leaders. They don't develop by themselves. You have to be intentional with it. So literally every single day for the last 2.5 or 3 years, we are having leadership conversations. Every day. Experiential learning. On top of that, I was at, I think it was Calgary, and I heard someone speak. I wish I remember who it was. Someone was speaking at Calgary, and I wrote down a note, and I texted John immediately because they said, your coaching with our leadership team has helped them grow and elevate. I said, I need this. I have not taken a one-on-one coaching call with John Cheplak in 3 years because I've given them and poured into. I'm a part of them, but it's for my leadership team. So I'm investing in their growth, not only me personally, but every single week with the best leadership coach on the planet. We also empower informal leaders. What's an informal leader? How many agents do you know have the voice or have a voice in your organization? Right? They're there. If you don't think they're there, you better go check again. How are you empowering them? Are they bought into the vision? Do they understand? I disconnected too much, so learn from my mistakes. Again, 3 years of leadership lessons every day. I love this one. How many of you have had an agent that is on the phone with a buyer, a seller, a lead, and you hear them hang up too soon? And you hear them get outscripted by the lead, meaning their objection was better than our objection handlers. Anyone? Anyone relate? Awesome. Here's my belief. Most leaders get outscripted by their agents. Well, I need more leads. I need this tech. I need this thing. And it's because we haven't stepped into our power as a leader. We're not having honest conversations. We're trying to be an entertainer instead of stepping into leadership. Here's the truth. It didn't happen overnight. It did not happen overnight. We are just now starting to see the results. We started this 2 years ago, 3 years ago. For the last 24 months, anyone read the book, Four Disciplines of Execution? The Whiplash? Anyone guilty of that? Any visionaries in the room? Yeah, cool. I see. Yep. Me too. Guilty. I've had to force myself to stop. We have three focuses. They have not changed. Get this. They have not changed in 24 months. Number one, recruit 5 agents per month. Recruiting solves all problems. Number two, 10 listings signed per week. If you own the listings, you own the market. Now let's talk with agents. We do an exercise called Go to the Board with our agents. Anyone done Go to the Board? You guys familiar with it? Most of you are. If not, just a quick synopsis of what it is. It's a quarterly accountability public declaration forum. And the agents pick one thing that is their focus for the next quarter. One thing, specific, measurable, actionable. It's one thing. Typically, it's a number of conversations. If you facilitate great as a leader, it's something specific. At the end of every Go to the Board for the last 3, maybe 4 quarters, I have asked everyone in our environment, all right, so how many of you, by show of hands, can I get you to recommit to your one thing? What was your one thing? What was your one thing? What was your one thing? Get them to recommit at the end of the day. Awesome. If you don't do that thing, what else matters, guys? Nothing. Awesome. Then I'm going to ask your permission for something. As your business partner, can I do my part in holding you accountable to doing that one thing? Is that fair? Yeah, please. Great. Cool. So here's what that looks like. You come to me with a question or a problem or anything, or as a matter of fact, you come to our leadership with a problem. The first thing they're going to answer your question with a question. Hey, thanks for coming. Have you done your thing? If the answer is no, go do your thing and come back and we will help you with the problem. But if you haven't done your thing, it does not matter. But that requires leadership. What if they get mad at me? Are you trying to entertain and be their friend? Are you trying to be the leader to help them as their business partner to accomplish their goals? It's not easy, but it works. CRO, none of you in here are CEO, whatever your title is. All of you should replace it for the next 6 months with this, Chief Repeating Officer. Here's a quick formula I have to memorize this. 6 equals 0. So in our leadership language, if we've said something 6 times, we've said it 0 times. Think about it. How long do you prepare before you roll out something to your team? The sales meeting, whatever it may be, you've spent hours and hours and hours developing this thing before they hear it for the first time. And we expect them to take it away right away like they have to know it at our level. So we pretend that if we haven't said it 7 times, it does not exist. Over and over and over again. Four simple steps to success. I was going to go really in-depth on this, and I found out I had 25 minutes, so we're just going to breeze over this so I can get to the other stuff. So 4 simple steps to success. And if you guys reach out to me, I'll give you this whole lead magnet. I don't think we have it at the end, but I have a whole playbook, super in-depth, that if you do that, you will win. So number one, you need standards. Not a goal, a standard. Standard is the floor. On the day you don't feel like it, and the day you still don't want to do it, do you still do the thing? What's the minimum? A standard is another word for a minimum. Number two, you need a playbook to the standard. A simple playbook that they can follow. If you do this, you will achieve that. Number three is accountability. Hold them accountable to the standard. Yes, accountability is an asset of your organization. And the number four, recruit to the new standard. If you follow that over and over and over, just on a circle on repeat, you can't lose. So here's some more proof, some receipts. So 2025, and this is why recruiting is crucial. 2025, production from our new agents. Right now, we have 116 current pendings. 25 of those pendings right now are from agents we recruited in 2024. 19 are from agents that we recruited in 2025. That's a lot like 40% to me. So what that tells me is if I had not recruited, my business would be down 40%. All right, so on leadership, we're going to pivot. Now that we talked about leadership, I'm going to tie it into something tactical that you guys can, I don't know what's up with the time. You tell me. All right. So now that you're no longer handcuffed in your own business through leadership, was that helpful, guys? Yeah? Cool. So now, how many of you generate leads? Show hands. Awesome. Cool. You're in real estate. You have leads of some sort, right? How many of you generate leads for your agents and your agents don't follow up properly? Wow. It's like I can read the room. All right. So here's the truth. I'm going to give you a simple steps that you guys can follow that will help. I can't eliminate that because they're humans, but I can help close the gaps. I think we all have leaky ships, and there's leads and there's money falling through the bottom of the boat. Again, from experience, none of this is theory. I found a $4 million GCI gap in our business. And how we fixed it is what I'm going to go with you through here. In 1 year, he wants $4 million extra this year. This is our playbook to fix that, okay? So I believe that your database equals your net worth. If you're a team leader, if you don't manage your database, like, you're behind. So your database can either print money or becomes a dark hole where all your leads and money you spend on them get lost. Where do most people operate? If you had to pick one of the two, it's a big-ass dark hole, right? So I'm going to help you revive your database and plug the holes so you can actually take it to the bank. So you need to build a database that truly showcases opportunities to the agents at the right time. Notice I didn't say leads. Another thing we changed 24 months ago is the word leads is not, just like the word try, the word leads is not allowed in our organization. We talk about opportunities. I want someone that's interested or curious about real estate. That's an opportunity. Because the reality is, if we get focused on new leads, an online lead takes, what, 18 to 24 months to convert, depending on which study you read? So wouldn't it be more valuable if we build the database and people come back to the website 24 months later and we treated it like a new lead? Would we have more success? Of course we would. I'm going to teach you how. So truly showcasing those opportunities at the right time. It also eliminates excuses from your agents. Most of you, I've been behind the scenes. I know how it looks. If you use Follow Up Boss, whatever you use, your CRM is a disaster. You barely know how to use it, much less your agents knowing how to use it. Once you give a clear system, there's some people laughing because you know it's true. But once you have a clear system and you make it simple and you make it easy to follow, guess what? It eliminates the excuse of, well, I didn't know how. So we're going to talk about how we set up ponds, money time pond, lead management system, lead flow, conversion strategy, and our win the day smart list. Oh, my time. There we go. Cool. We'll go through this fast. Simplicity is key. Simplicity is key. Less is more. As an example, we have 68,000-ish leads in our database. Only 2,000 of those are in an agent's name. Do you guys know what percentage of your database right now is in an agent's name? You probably should. Less is more. Because if it's in their name, now we can hold them accountable to that, right? Anybody have any lead hoarder agents? I used to have them. I'm going to help you work through that. The reality is, you should take a picture of this and you should share this with your team. You don't need to call more leads. You need to call less leads more. You don't need to call more leads. You need to call less leads more. What is your average contact attempt per lead? You should know it. Your agents are looking for the low-hanging fruit. We got to build a system around giving the right people at the right time and a proper follow-up plan. Number one, ponds. We have a multi-tiered pond system that provides a variety of opportunities based upon activity or production of the agents. Here's an example if you want to take a screenshot. So all new leads go into a money time pond. Guess what? You earn new leads in our organization. When I say new leads, I should say new opportunities. Because also, those are people in our database of the 68,000 people that come back and revisit. Guess where they go? We treat them like a new lead. What happens after 10 days of no contact? We move them to a neglected pond. Guess who has access to that? Next tier of agents. Because there's still some gold in there that we missed, right? And we tier it down based upon productivity or activity. And then we have a stocked pond, which is a lead sweeping that I'll get to, that you earn access to a stocked pond once you sweep leads. So money time pond is access to new leads of the entire organization. You get a lead shift. Most of you probably heard of it. But you, in order to gain access to that, again, it's earned, not given. You have to meet our production or activity standard, which is right here. 20 conversations logged in the CRM a week. Oh, Matt, our agents do more. Good for you. You win a prize. Congrats. This is what works for us. Because the reality is, these are logged in the CRM. These are 2 minutes or longer, and these are all in a lead follow-up stage. This doesn't count my grandma or my mom or an agent or the title rep or a lender. We know these are actually follow-up conversations or prospecting conversations. We also have a tier. Again, I believe in treating everyone fairly, but that does not mean equally. What does that mean? Well, if you close $1 million in volume in the month before, well, you're a producer. I'm looking for productivity or activity. Give me one of the two. I wish we could have both, but you give me one of the two, I'm happy. Okay? So you're productive, your activity barrier goes down lower. Same thing with five pending. Stocked pond. So again, this is where all of our swept leads get to. So lead sweep, as an example, is let's say that an agent claims a lead for money time pond because they have a valid conversation. They're supposed to follow up with them every week. Guess what happens? On day 7, it shows up in a smart list that I'll give you. So they're notified. It's in front of them. On day 9, means it's been in their smart list for 2 days and they have not communicated with that lead. They get a reminder. Hey, don't forget to follow up with this lead. On day 10, guess what happens? You're gone. A lot of you are nodding your heads. Here's the truth. You got the guts to do it. Then, the agents that are productive or active, they earned opportunity to stock pond. How many of them want a weekly follow-up that someone else had a conversation with that they dropped the ball and that's looking to buy or sell real estate? I want my productive agents to have those all day long. Clarity is kindness. When you're developing this, make sure you have clarity. I'm sure we'll get to slides for some of these. On your stages, less is more. You don't need 38 stages. Less is more. Simplify. Clear definitions for each stage. Lead flow and conversion. Make sure that you have lead flow rules that are set up to prioritize based upon, again, getting the right opportunities to the right people at the right time. I can't stress that enough. So many team leaders are stuck with, well, we have 50,000 people in our database. Can't they just call them? Who the hell are they supposed to call? What if we provide a clear path that gives them an opportunity? Because do we want to burn our agents out? Or do we actually want them to have proper conversations with people that are interested in real estate? That's our responsibility to provide that path. I'll show you exactly what our smart lists are if you want to take a screenshot. Guess what? We don't have 86 smart lists. We got 6. Simple. Simple, 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 simple. What am I supposed to do today? Log in, clear your smart list. Simple. We also use that as an incentive for a lead flow opportunity, right? So if you're another part of the lead flow is if your smart lists aren't clear, I'm not giving you more leads. Because your actions told me you're too busy. I'm not going to give you more opportunities. Fortunes in the follow-up. You must hold agents accountable to follow up with the leads in their system or you sweep them. You have to. Team leaders, listen to me on this one. Well, guys, you have till Friday to get up to date or we're going to sweep them. Friday comes. All right, most of you didn't do it. You got till Monday. I'm really mean it this time. Guys, why do we do that? Scarcity. What if I make them mad? You are their business partner. Hold the line. You owe it to them. This system, did it ruffle some feathers when we rolled it out? Of course. Did we lose any agents? No. You know why? I stepped back into my power as a leader and have an amazing leadership team. And we handled those conversations head on. Here's a leadership conversation I learned from John. Anyone that is giving you something that's not in the best interest of the organization, they're being selfish. Anyone have any selfish agents? You have humans, so I'm assuming you do. Thank you so much for coming, Austin. I'm just curious, how is that in the best interest of everyone? How is that in the best interest of everyone? Because we're a team here. Lead sweep, I already went over that process. Integrity of your database is everything. Here's some problems I've seen. Number one, too complex. Opportunities are hidden and hard to find. There's no clear workflow. And the result is you're burning your agents out. I need my agents to make more calls. How about we help them get some results from the calls? I see agents making thousands of dials a week to set one appointment. That's either we didn't train them or they're calling shitty leads. I think we can do better. And I think too many of us as leaders step back here and we're like, well, if the agents would call more, our business would look better. Instead of being like, you know what? What can I do to make this easier for my agents? It's a different mindset. It makes all the difference. Here's an example. We have 66,000 leads in our database. We are a 96 compliance score on our daily audits. We sweep our leads every day. Leads and agents' name are at 96% compliance right now. Walking the walk. And this produces 60 deals a month. We're 100 under contract this month. And so we're scaling like crazy. And what's crazier is to see the production of the new agents that we're bringing on board. 19 agents from brand new agents we brought on this year. Most of them are within the last 90 to 120 days. It's phenomenal. Consistent execution on the same thing. Our core focus at our organization is changing lives. And I believe it's my responsibility to make it easier for them to change their lives and change the lives of other people. Serve buyers and sellers at the highest capacity and provide a clear path for agent success. Your leaders right now, if you provide a clear path for agent success, you will have more successful agents. Or you can sit back and say, well, if my agents would do more, I would be better. You get to choose. I think business partnership is the way to go. So hold the line for your agents. That's all I got for you. If you guys want the free guide, I just kind of covered it. It's like 13 pages of exactly how to set it up right there for you for free. Thank you, guys.
Check, check. You guys hear me good? Keep that slide up there. Did you guys all get the download?